Turn to Matthew chapter 21, and we'll read the first 11 verses here of Matthew chapter 21. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the word of God. And I pray that this morning, through the work of your Holy Spirit, you will speak to each one of us and challenge each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we considered this story recently on Palm Sunday, just 8 weeks ago. And if you were here, you remember that we put great emphasis on the misunderstanding of the day. Yes, the people proclaimed him king, but only because they wanted him to deliver them from Roman oppression. They did not want him to rule over them. They did not want to obey him. They did not want him to be their savior from sin or anything like that. They only wanted him to deliver them from Rome. And when they realized that he was not going to do that, this very same crowd that cried out here in verse 9, Hosanna, that means save us now. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That same crowd, just a few days later, according to Matthew 27 and verse 22, we're crying, Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. The same crowd. A complete misunderstanding of the coming of Jesus. But that is not what we're going to consider today. We're going to look at something completely different by focusing in mostly on verses 2 and 3 and the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And I really want us to focus in on the word go. Go. And this morning, from these two verses, we're going to answer four questions. Four questions. The first one is this. Where are we to go? Notice he says here to them, go into the village over against you. That is, don't stay here. Go over there. And you know, that is the same two-letter word that Jesus says to us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We are to go. We're to take the message of Jesus and get it out to the world. Another way Jesus put it in Mark 16, 15 was, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, you can't spread the gospel by sitting home and being quiet. You got to get up and get out of that easy chair, and you've got to go out where other people are. Right? To the disciples, he says, Go over to the next village. To you and I, he says, Don't just sit around there like a bump on a log. Go somewhere and tell someone. And that's our challenge. Because as you've heard me say a million times over the years, everybody needs Jesus. And it is our job to tell them about him. It's our job to tell them about how Jesus died on the cross for them and how he rose again for them and how through Christ and Christ alone they can find forgiveness and hope and peace and joy and eternal life and heaven. We've got to go to them. Tomorrow morning, I'll be getting up about 5:30 in the morning, and Nate and I are going fishing. Well, that is not going to work if we just stay home in our comfy, warm beds and snooze, right? We got to get up. We got to get dressed. We got to grab our fishing gear. We got to go to the car. We got to drive to the lake. We got to put the bait on the hook, and we need to cast in the lines. We've got to go where the fish are, because the fish ain't coming to us, right? Well, that is a good analogy to describe what we're talking about here this morning, because it's an analogy that even Jesus himself used. Remember what he told the disciples and he told us in Matthew 4:19? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that's our calling. Every Christian is to be a fisher of men. Every Christian is called to put the go in the gospel. And so the first question is, where are we to go? And the answer is anywhere and everywhere, because everywhere you go, you're going to run into people who need the Savior. Now, here's the second question. To whom are we to go? To whom are we to go? And look at what it says here as we continue on in the passage. It says, straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. He says, go to the donkeys. Well, I'll tell you what, that is a good picture of lost souls. Because donkeys are known to be stubborn and thick-headed and self-willed, right? That's their character traits. Well, that's a good picture of lost souls as well. Right? They're stubborn. They're too stubborn to admit that they're sinners, even though it's the absolute truth. Right? The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you think you're not a sinner, well, guess what? You're just kidding yourself. And the Bible even speaks to that over in 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in it. So they're too stubborn to admit they're sinners. And then they're too thick-headed to see that they're on the wrong path. And Jesus even himself spoke about that. Turn with me back to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. We're coming right back to Matthew 21. But look in Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. Jesus speaks about this. Beginning in verse 13. He says, enter ye again at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Lost sinners are on the wrong path. They're on the broad way that leads to destruction, and they don't even see it. And before we look down our nose at them, let's remember that before we came to Christ, we were exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. Too stubborn to admit they're sinners, too thick-headed to see that they're on the wrong path. And then also, they're too self-willed to admit that their way is the wrong way. They think they can get to heaven on their own. They think they can get into heaven by their works, their own good works, when the Bible says something completely opposite. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And over in Titus 3, 5 and 6, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." You can't be saved by your own works, because no matter how good or even how religious your works are, they are not good enough. They fall far short of God's standard. And so these donkeys are a good picture of lost souls. And Jesus tells these disciples to go to them, just like he tells you and I, to go to the world and preach the gospel. You see, it is not enough just to preach the gospel here in the church house. Now, should it be preached here? Well, of course it should. But guess what? The vast majority of sinners, of lost sinners, are out there. They're not in here. We got to get the gospel to them. Because in case you don't realize it, and you've probably heard me say this before, there is not one place in the Bible where it tells lost sinners to come to church to hear the gospel. It tells the church to go out into the world and bring the gospel to them and lead them to Christ. Once they're saved, then bring them into the church. You see, the church is predominantly for believers. It's kind of like a refueling station to give us encouragement and to equip us and to build our enthusiasm for reaching out to the world Monday through Saturday. And so, where are we to go? We're to go anywhere and everywhere, because all around us are people who need the Lord. And to whom are we to go? We're to go to lost sinners. We're to go into the world and preach the gospel to those who are lost in sin. Now, here is question number three. And that is, when we go, what do we tell them? Look, as we continue here, back in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 2, he says, "Loose them." Look at these next four words. "Bring them unto me." Bring them. See, we got to bring them to Jesus and tell them about him and how he loves them and how he came to save them, and how he gave his life for them and took all the punishment and all the penalty for their sins upon himself at the cross. We got to tell them what he can do for them, how he can transform their lives and make them into a child of God, part of God's family, and how he can give them the full assurance that when they die, they will go straight to heaven. We need to tell them how he can loose them and set them free from the burden and the penalty of sin and give them everlasting life. I love here how the crowds who were in Jerusalem this day, people had come from not only Israel, but from far countries. They had come to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. And all these crowds of foreigners are there. And they see all this activity that we call the triumphal entry. And you'll notice in verse 10, they ask, "Who is this?" And the multitude responds by saying, "This is Jesus." And let me tell you, folks, when they ask you, "Who is the person that can forgive my sin? Who is the person that can give me eternal life? Who is the person that can grant me peace with God? Who is the person that can change my life?" Our job, your job, my job, is to tell them, "This is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior of the world, the sinner's substitute, and the only source of salvation. We got to tell them about him, the one who can loose them and set them free. As the Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So question number one, where do we go? Well, that is anywhere and everywhere, because everywhere you go, people need the Lord. Question number two is, to whom should we go? And that's to lost sinners who are desperately in need of the Savior. We've got to make the effort to reach out to them. And then the third question was, when we go, what do we tell them? Well, we tell them about Jesus, who is able to save their souls. And then question number four, and we'll kind of wind down this morning here. Question number four is this. Why? Why go to them? Look at the phrase in verse 3. The Lord hath need of them. The Lord hath need of them. We go to them because he wants them as much as he wanted us. And he loves them just as much as he loves us. John 3:16 makes that pretty clear. For God so loved the world, that is all the people of the world, every person on this planet. God so loved the world, the whole wide world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All the people in this world are loved by him. He died and rose again for all the people of the world. He wants them all to be saved. Red, yellow, black, brown, white, makes no difference to God. The Bible tells us God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at one group or one person as being better than another. He wants them all. He wants Republicans and Democrats and independents. He wants them all. And by the way, let me tell you this. He wants every individual in the LGBTQ plus movement as well. God loves them too, and he wants them to be saved. Because as far as God is concerned, a sinner is a sinner, and all sinners are in need of the salvation that only Jesus can offer. In 1 John 2:2, we read, he is the propitiation for our sins. That means he was the one who paid the price. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. You know, not just for those of us sitting in church. But it says, but for the sins of the whole world. He wants them all. That's the truth. God wants everyone to be saved. 1 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And 1 Timothy 2:4, he would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So let me ask you this morning, are you saved? And I'm speaking not only to the folks in the church, but folks watching by the internet as well. Are you saved? Can you remember a time when you called out to Jesus and admitted to him that you're a sinner? And told him that you believe he died on the cross for your sin and that he rose again so you could have eternal life? Have you invited him into your heart and life to be your Savior and Lord? Are you trusting him and him alone for the salvation of your soul? If not, then as you've heard me say many times, this is your greatest need. You need Jesus more than you need anything this world has to offer. And so I challenge you to take that step of faith and receive Christ as your Savior today. And then let me ask this. If you're a Christian, you know Christ,
You know he's in your heart. Your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. When was the last time you obeyed the call to go and share the gospel with others? When was the last time you personally spoke to a lost soul about their need for Jesus? You know, we'll talk to them about every other subject. We'll talk to them about sports and politics and the weather and TV shows or maybe a movie we've seen. We'll talk about all those things. But we neglect to talk to them about the most important subject of all. We neglect to talk to them about the eternal destiny of their never dying soul, which is the most important thing we could ever talk to them about. So again, when was the last time you personally spoke to a lost soul about their need for Jesus? And if it's been a long time, well, guess what? No time like the present to start again. No better time to begin talking to people about Jesus than today. Because if you go anywhere outside this church building, you're bound to run into people who don't know Christ. And remember, that person who comes across your path may just be an appointment set up by God Himself for you to share the good news with them. And so the question is, can God count on you to do it? Remember, you can't catch fish by sitting home in the recliner and watching TV. You've got to go where the fish are, and you got to cast in that bait, which is the life-changing, sin-cleansing, devil-defeating gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody might say, well, Pastor, this is Memorial Day weekend. This is a patriotic weekend. Why would you choose to preach on this subject this morning? Well, it's because I want you to be fully aware that the hope of America is not in Washington, D.C. and in politics. If you think it is, you're sadly mistaken. And the hope of America is not on Wall Street and finances. And the hope of America is not in science. It's not in education. It's not in medicine. It's not in military might. The hope of America is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message of repentance from sin and faith in Christ. That's what America needs the most. Which means that my message this morning is the most patriotic message I could possibly preach. Because America needs to repent and turn to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the challenge to our heart. Lord, we thank you that we can take these scriptures to heart, and I pray you'd help us to obey them. Help us to reach out to those who come across our path and tell them the good news of Jesus. Lord, so many people around us are just hopeless and helpless and hurting, and even more important than that, they're headed for hell. And we have the message they need to hear, the message that can change their lives and change their eternal destiny. Help us not to hide that message for ourselves, but help us to share it with others so that they can come to know Christ the way that we know him as Savior and Lord of our lives. And Lord, we pray that if somebody here this morning or somebody watching by way of the internet that doesn't know Christ, I pray that today they would see this to be their great need. And right where they are, right now, in their own words, they'd open up that heart of theirs and invite Christ in to wash their sins away and to give them everlasting life and to make them a child of God. Lord, continue to speak to hearts through this message about their need for the Savior. And then once again, Lord, help us each one here as believers to accept the challenge. Help us not to be quiet. Help us to be vocal. Help us to open up our mouths and tell the good news. Give us boldness, courage, strength, and power to do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.